Good to have our visitors with us here today, and appreciate you being with us here. Open your Bible, if you would, to the book of Acts, chapter number 5. Acts chapter number 5. Our fall program is over, and the stress on the fall program is getting visitors to come and some people in and that type of a thing. And so in doing so, I thought I'd bring a message this morning entitled, Why Join the Church? Why join the church? Now, in Acts chapter 5, verse 11 through 14, we're going to start here. And this is a lengthy passage of Scripture. What has happened just before this is the occasion where Ananias and Sapphira had lied about a gift they had given to the church. They'd sold a piece of property and then given the money but held back part of it. Well, that wasn't a part. That wasn't the problem. That was their land to begin with. They didn't have to sell it. And secondly, when they sold it, they didn't have to give it all. But they tried to make themselves look good in the eyes of the church. And, you know, I don't know if they thought they could fool the Lord. We all know that's not possible. But they held back price, the part of the price, and the Lord was upset with that and took both of them to heaven. And this is where the story picks up. And so verse 11 is a result of what happened. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. That news traveled fast. Did you hear what happened there? And verse 12, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Now, notice verse 13, it's our text. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. Now, it goes on to say, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. But notice what it says there in verse 13, and of the rest. So here's a bunch of people are believers that were added to the Lord, and there were people getting saved and good things happening. But some of these people, the rest of them, that were in that situation were unwilling to join themselves to the church. It says, but the people magnified them. So what was going on? They said, yeah, that's a really good church over there, Jerusalem. It's really good. Preacher preaches the word of God. The people are really friendly. When you come in, you're a visitor. If you sit in their pew, They don't walk in and stare at you like something's the matter with you. Don't do that. Listen, folks, if somebody sits in your pew, and then there's plenty of room down front, okay? You can come move down front, all right? But, you know, so many things, man, they support missions around. I mean, so many things could be said. That is a really good church. Oh, are you a member there? No. I hadn't joined there. By the way, when I say join the church, I'm not talking about the occasion where I heard of a man and woman who moved into a town and the husband said, we need to go put our membership in a church here. And his wife replied, why does it matter which church we don't attend? So when I say join the church, I'm not saying, yeah, my membership's over there. I can think of someone here locally who says, yeah, I never did move my membership from Open Door. Hadn't been in years, but thinks they hadn't moved their membership. I got news for you according to the church's constitution. It's automatic. If you hadn't been here in a year, you're automatically not a member anymore. See, that's heartless. No, what's heartless is you join a church and then have nothing to do with it. That's pretty heartless, if you ask me. And by the way, there are, you know, if the pastor determines there's a reason, and there is. We've got elderly people in our church because their health cannot come to church. We're not talking about those kind of things. We're just saying there's people that join a church just means, yeah, my membership's there. That's not what the word join means. It means to become a part of. To become a part of something and involved in the situation. I don't think we prayed yet. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, pray that you speak to our hearts, give us from your word that which we need, encourage and challenge us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. I got this turned on. Yes, I do. Why join the church? They respected the church. They spoke well of it, but refused to join. Join means united to or associated with. Number one, here's a good reason, because it's what believers do. It's what believers do. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 through 42 says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly. Did you notice that? They were added unto them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Don't just speak well of the church. Join its fellowship. That's a good church. Oh, so you a member? No, but it sure is a good church. I usually show up at Easter and Christmas. Doing the Lord a favor. But I hadn't joined. You say, you're stomping on my feet. That's what I was attempting to do. I'm just trying to help you out this morning. Number two, by the way, I don't know what's in anybody's heart. I don't know for sure who's a member of what and that type of thing. I'm just preaching to you what the Bible says. Secondly, because of what can be accomplished in your own life. In 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 2 says this. This has to do with David when he was fleeing from Saul. And he'd been anointed already as the king to replace Saul, but Saul was jealous of him and was trying to kill him. And he's chasing after him, trying to kill him. And so David's on the run. And verse number 2 of 1 Samuel 22 says this, "And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. Because of what can be accomplished in your own life. May I say this to you? These men who in this state of life of distress and indebtedness and discontentment, these men became David's mighty men in the scripture. Oh, read that account. The wonderful account that names them and tells of their accomplishments as the mighty men. Listen, you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, whether it's before you join the church or maybe you realize after you hadn't actually been saved, whatever the case may be, that's the starting point, actually, is receiving Christ as your Savior. But it doesn't end there. That's not the end of it. That's the beginning of it. And we understand that, and just as David's mighty men, through their association with each other and with David himself as their leader, became the mighty men. You know, you can grow from battling depression and debt and discontent to battling for the souls of men and women and boys and girls. What can be accomplished in your own life? Some very good things. This is a story from Papua New Guinea. John Allen tells the story. Jack Noddy, my language helper, and I went to see some villages to our north. On the way, we met an old lady, Nakuru, sitting along the trail. I greeted her in Kamiya, that's one of the languages, tribal language, and she lit up. Having one of the white people talk to you is a treat for the older folks. She gave us some nuts to eat, and as we turned away, I talked to Jack about witnessing to her. He went right to it. She needed some medicine, but was too weak to walk to the clinic, so we headed back to get medicine and for Jack to get his pidgin Bible. The pidgin language is a trade language, sort of an assortment of different languages, largely going back to World War II when the American forces were over there and other groups of people. And it was sort of a put-together language that they could do business with and so forth. But let me say this to you. The heart language of the people is the one that they understand. And if you can talk to them in their own language, you can reach their heart a lot better. But he went to get his pidgin Bible, and he goes on to say, someday we'll have one in Kamiya. When we returned, she had made it home, so we visited her and some of her family in their hut. Jack again began his witness, and God truly blessed. He translated all the pidgin verses into Kamiya, and I wish you all could have seen her reactions. She was very expressive, especially when Jack showed her that she was a sinner in God's eyes. I think she actually blushed. It was as if she believed we knew secrets about her past. When Jack described the lake of fire, she drew back as if we were sitting on the edge. Soon, Jack was leading her to ask Christ to save her. It was precious, and I was so glad to be a small part of it. It took Jack and me 45 fast-walking minutes to get home, and we never made it to all the villages we were going to walk to. Jack told me that Nakuru, this is his language helper, the one helping him to learn the tribal language, this missionary. Jack told me that Nakuru was the first person he's ever led to Christ. He's preached many times, but this was his first ever personal soul-winning convert. To God be the glory. A lot can be accomplished in your life. If you're not saved, you can get saved. If you are saved, you can become a group, a part of a group of people who can be a help and a blessing to you. You can learn how to win a soul to Christ. One of the most important things is to know how to be a witness and win a soul to Christ. You have opportunities to learn how to do that. The preacher can't win everybody. And oftentimes, a layperson has more of an in with people. There's just something about preachers that people are like, oh, he's one of them. You know, even in the interactions of daily life, people find out you're a preacher and they're like, oh, now how am I supposed to act? Well, just act normal. We're used to people putting their best foot forward and then finding out later that there's a whole lot more to the story than their best foot. Sort of like police officers. That's sort of how they deal with things. But anyway, I mean, God can work in your life, and God can help you to grow in grace. God can help you to learn to trust Him, and God can give you goals in life that will result in eternity being changed for yourself and for others. It'll be a help to your family. And so, thirdly, not only because it's what Christians do and because of what can be accomplished in your own life, thirdly, because of what can be accomplished in the lives of others. First of all, in the church. In the church. Number one, to minister to each other. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16 talks about this. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Also, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. We have a responsibility and a purpose to minister to each other. Help each other. You know, sometimes just having somebody say to you when you come in, hey, it's good to see you. Or if you miss, hey, we missed you last week. Don't get offended if somebody notices that you weren't there and says to you, hey, I didn't see you last week. Well, who made you my caretaker? Okay, no, we just love you, we care about you, and we figured out now. I've been associated with Open Door Baptist Church for almost 39 years now. And this is what I know. When you start drifting away from church, a whole lot of other things in your life will drift also. We care. And there's good food fellowship at church too, amen. But that's a whole other thing. There should be unity of purpose. We read already 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10, which says that you be, the last part of the verse, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. I preached a missions conference in Union City, Tennessee back in September, and this church had, I believe it was 5 years ago, Pastor Keaton had been there, I think, about a year or something like that, and the church building caught on fire. Now, you remember that. He and his wife, Mrs. Keaton, was here to play the piano for our daughter Crystal's wedding. They were here in town. He was to speak for me in my place the next day on Sunday, and he got a call. His son, Brad, who was just out of high school, I think, at that time, and maybe into college, I don't remember for sure, but college age. He said, okay, Brad, we're going to go. We'll be gone. And he got a call from his son. There's a fire at the church. Well, in just a little while, the whole building was engulfed. Burnt to the ground. Thankfully, there was a gym and another area set apart a little bit. They were able to have services in there and so forth. Let me tell you, he'll tell you this, that not only did that fire bring the people closer together, it even brought the community closer together as they rallied around that church and said, hey, we want to be a help to you. Churches around here, we'll give you some chairs, we'll do this for you. It was a rallying point at that time, even through that. Even brought the community together. That's a fairly small town, so that's more apt to happen in a small town. But now, he's well known throughout the community and has had an impact, and the church continues to grow and those type of things because it was a rallying point. We need to have a rallying point. Put aside your differences about things and rally around what's important. The salvation of souls and the growth of Christians, the impact of families in this day and time. We really need to hear from the Lord what we need to know about the family, not the world. In the church, what can be accomplished? To minister to each other, unity of purpose, the growth of the church. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 16. again says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. The growth of the church. This is done while exalting Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I like this. Came across it some time ago. I'd never heard of it before. Don't even know about the science of it. But there was an article in Reader's Digest some years ago entitled, What Good is a Tree? And it explained that when the roots of trees touch, there's a substance present that reduces competition. In fact, this unknown substance helps link roots of different trees, even in dissimilar species. A whole forest may be linked together at the roots. Here's the astounding thing. If one tree has access to water, another to nutrients, and a third to sunlight, the trees have the means to share with one another. Isn't that incredible? Somebody that knows science could explain that to you. I don't have a clue how that could happen. I'm just saying in the church, the same thing can be true. You go through a very hard time. Aren't you glad you can connect with somebody else and they can weep with you? Or laugh with you. You're going through a good time. Praise the Lord with you. Some good things are happening in your life. Like trees in a forest, Christians in the church need and support one another. Now, by the way, do you just speak well of the Sunday school or do you join in the teaching? Yeah, they got a good Sunday school. We had some good lessons. I was gone for some of those lessons because my wife and I were on vacation. But I've taught all but I think it was two of them about the fruit of the Spirit. They're really good lessons, folks. Really good stuff. Thank God for the teaching. But you know, there should become a point in time when maybe you think, you know, I've grown enough, I ought to be part of the teaching. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Unable to really get across something to someone because you don't have a good foundation in the teaching of the Word of God. The growth of the church. Next, in the church, or how about the lost that can be reached? Isaiah 56, verse number 3 through verse 8 says this, neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord, the stranger was someone who was not Jewish. See, the Jews were supposed to be a light to the Gentiles and to the whole world. They were not supposed to say, well, you're not of our belief, and so we're not going to have anything to do with you. Their responsibility was to reach out to the world. And as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have that same responsibility to let everyone all over the world know about Christ. Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I'm a dried tree. For thus saith the Lord God unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant. Even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also of the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants. Everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, taking hold of my covenant. And he goes on to say what he will do with them. Verse 8, he says, the Lord God which gathereth the outcasts of Israel saith, yet will I gather others to him beside those that are gathered unto him. Jeremiah 50 also, verse 5 says, they shall ask the way to Zion with their faces thitherward, saying, come and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 11, and many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto thee. The lost that can be reached. Let me ask, do you just say this? Oh yeah, we got a good missions program at Open Door Baptist Church. After somewhere between the 30th and 35th year, I don't remember when it was exactly, church reached $1 million given to missions. You say, wow, we had about the same amount of people we do now. I believe it is, missionaries now we support all around the world. Why? Because somebody's saying, what are you bothering with that for? They've got their own religion. May I remind you that the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Their religion is not good enough. It may be good enough to get them through life, but it's not good enough to get them through eternity. They need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this. Do you just speak well of the missions program of the church, or do you join in supporting missions? Are you part of that? Oh, that's fruit to our account. And I love reading the missionary letters and reading about people that are getting saved literally all over the world because of the influence of our church and churches of like faith that are supporting missionaries around the world. What a blessing it is that the lost can be reached. Number four, why join the church? Because it's a lot better place to join than some others. Hosea chapter 4, verse number 17. This is one of the saddest verses in the Bible. God says this about Ephraim, one of the tribes of Israel. He said this, Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Now, Pastor Taylor has been giving a lot of messages about idolatry. I don't know where he is. We hadn't been there the last couple of Sundays because of our vacation. But really good message. What a tragedy that someone can so join themselves to idols that the Lord says, you might as well just leave them alone. They've already decided that's what they want. You can join yourself to a whole lot worse things than the local church. For example, Luke chapter 15, verse number 15, the Bible tells the story of the prodigal who, after he left the father's house and wasted all of his inheritance in riotous partying, is what that means, party living, ran out of money. And the Bible says he joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he gave him a job, oh, it was a good one, slopping the hogs. He was out there slopping the hogs, looking at what the hogs were eating. And he didn't have any money. His good time friends had already run out on him because he ran out of money. And he's looking there thinking, you know, this slop sort of looks good to me. I'm so hungry. And the Bible says he came to himself. And said, I had way better back in my father's house. Why don't you go ahead and get fed from the Word of God? You see. Proverbs 16:5 says this, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Notice what the rest of this verse says. You can apply this to a lot of things today. Though hand join in hand, He shall not be unpunished. Listen, folks, you can walk around and join hands and say, we are proud of our sin. I don't care how many people you join up with and how many people you get to be on your side and how many people you can win over and recruit, because that's what's going on. God's still in control, and he said they'll not be unpunished. Why don't you join yourself to the Lord and get involved in something that one day the Lord will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. A lot worse things to do, places to go. Then let me close with this. What keeps people from joining? First of all, fear of what's required of them. Back in verse number 11, it says, and great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. They said, wait a minute. You see what happened to those people that are members of this church? They got crossways with God, and God took them home early. I don't know if I'm that serious about serving God or not. In this case, the fear was what was required was purity of life, specifically honesty in finances. Man, if we go to that church, they expect people to be honest over there. You ever think about this? Even thieves don't like thieves. A thief steals from another thief, they hate him. Remember, a church is a hospital for sinners, not a rest home for saints. But it is a hospital for sinners where people can come for healing from the disease of sin, get inoculations from the virus of false doctrine, and come for a transplant of a new heart. Oh, listen, you don't have anything to be afraid of. Just go ahead and become a part. Well, they might find out I'm not everything they ought to be. Then you would just join the crowd. You'll find this church is just a bunch of down-to-earth people. Not people trying to impress. Listen, I'm just telling you, I've been doing this a while. The people trying to impress each other and use church to get a leg up in the commerce world or something, they go to the big rich churches. But you look around here, they ain't got no money. Or secondly, fear of the church itself. This is interesting in Acts chapter 9, verse number 26. When Saul was come to Jerusalem, this Saul, of course, who persecuted Christians, had them put to death and jailed, got saved on the road to Damascus. And so he's all excited. He's preaching about Jesus everywhere. And verse 26 of Acts 9 says, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed or tried to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Listen, don't be afraid that the individual who wants to join will do damage. Well, I knew that lady before she got saved. She had a very bad life. I'm afraid she might have an influence. Why don't you just think about you could have an influence to help her to become a godly woman? Why don't you think about that fellow whose life was a life of slavery to sin of some kind and realize, well, I'm afraid it might spread. No, why don't you realize we can be strong as a church and cause that person to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ so that they can be strong for the Lord. By the way, a statement of faith and a church covenant of a church are designed to prevent that. I mean, you can read it. It says, look, you want to be a member here, here's what we believe. And here's what we believe we should do. Then I close. Could be the fear of lost position in the community or of friends. John chapter 12, verse number 42 says, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Jesus in John 5, 44 said, how can you believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? We're living in a time, folks, when identifying with a unapologetically Bible-believing, teaching and preaching church can be a hazard to your position on the job. You might find out you believe what? About how people ought to act? You're fired. It's already happening. And it's going to keep happening. Wonder what my neighbors will think. All I can tell you is, any negatives that come from being a part of the local church of the Lord will be made up in this lifetime and by far in the next. Let me ask you to bow your head.